Amen. Well, we're on page 43, I believe it is, in your syllabus. We've kind of jumped around a lot. We've stayed on this page for probably 6 weeks. But there's a whole lot more there that's not on that page. So we need to look at it a little bit deeper. And we're in Exodus, the 12th chapter. Exodus 12, chapter 12. What does Exodus mean? What language does the name Exodus originate from? Where does it come from? Where does it originate? I already did. This is a test, brother. This is the test. The real thing. All right, what does Exodus mean? Where does it come? What language? What? Koine Greek. All right. The books in the Old Testament do not come from the Hebrew Bible. They come from the Greek Septuagint. All right? And the name Exodus, ex-hodos, it means out. That's like exit sign up there. And hodos means the way out. All right? So we're in the book of Exodus. In the book of Exodus. And the 12th chapter. And we are up to verse number 18. All right? Verse number 18. Well, I tell you what, most of us need a way out sometime or another in life. The escape path. All right, the exit. And God was going to exit Israel out of Egypt. What? All right, 12 and verse 18. All right, 12 and verse 18. Israel had to be taken out of Egypt mentally, spiritually, and physically. And that's what God was doing here. God was dealing with them mentally, spiritually, and physically, trying to get them out of there. We find out later on that they weren't very happy when they left and out of this, even though they were slaves. And like a child of God. One of the reasons why most people don't come to God is because they are slaves to their sin. And they don't want to be cut off from their sin. All right. That's right. He got them out of the place, but he couldn't get them, Egypt, out of them. Right. All right. Now it says here in verse number 18, 12 and 18 now, who's got that, Brother Luis?
In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, in the evening, you shall eat unleavened cakes until the 20th day of the month.
All right. It says that from the first month. Now, Israel on this month. Now, this month varies. It's like April and May. It's Nisan, I think it is in the Hebrew first month. It falls. That's why we have Easter at different times of the year. You know, it can be within, you know, different times. Why? Why is that? Because Israel goes by a lunar calendar and not a physical calendar like we do here. You know, January through December, and it's always on there at the same time every year. Well, theirs is a lunar calendar. It goes by the moon. All right? In the first month of the 14th day of the month, now this is going to be what's going to happen in the future also, because they were in a hurry this time, okay? But from now on, this is what they're supposed to do. It says, for the first month, on the 14th day of the month at evening. What time is evening? Come on now, we know. What are the two evenings?
Okay.
All right, now remember what they are. To the two evenings.
Three and six.
Three and six, Brother Rex, you got it. Three and six. Three in the afternoon and six. 3 p.m. and 6 p.m. That's the two evenings, between the two evenings. Between those two evenings is where they were supposed to slay that sacrifice. What happens at 6 p.m.?
The next day starts.
To the Jewish people, we started this day at 12 a.m. But the Jews started this day yesterday at 6 p.m. All right? So that's the difference. All right? Now, on the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at evening, all right, you shall eat unleavened bread. Now, when they would slay this sacrifice between the two evenings, between 3 o'clock and 6 o'clock. They would slay it, and they would cook it and roast it with what fire, and it was a whole offering, wasn't it? It was a whole, well, I shouldn't say offering. It was a whole sacrifice. They would roast the whole thing, and they would begin to eat it. And how many people was it necessary to be in a family? At least 10 people to consume this sacrifice, this offering. Okay? And they were supposed to have it eaten up, or kata estio, as it is in Greek. What means what? Kata is what? Down. Down, to eat down. In other words, you eat from the top of the plate down. That's the way you do, isn't it? You eat it until it's all gone. They were supposed to eat down their food. All right? They were supposed to have it all eaten by midnight. Nothing was supposed to be left over. If anything was left over, what were they going to do with it? Burn it with fire. Okay. And you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at evening. Number 19. Girls and boys. All right, number 19. Brother... all the old folks and youngins, all at the same time. Brother Mike. Brother Mike. 19.
7 days there shall be no leaven found in your houses, but whoever eats what is leavened, that person shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he is an alien or a native of the land.
All right. He's going to be... What does leaven stand for in the Bible always?
Sin.
Go to Matthew 13:33, somebody. Matthew, Katamathion, the Gospel according to Matthew, 13 and verse 33. Matthew 13:33. By the way, I went over there last Sunday and I talked to Pastor Larry's class after I finished this one. I went from here to the information booth and then to his class, and I gave him a Greek lesson. All I did was taught him what John 1 and 1:14 says, you know, very simple things like that, and they thought they were inundated. Real simple stuff. Matthew 13:33. Who is there? Aaron, are you over in?
Yes.
Okay. Could you read that for me, please? All right. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman mixed in the dough until it all became leavened. Plot, how is this age going to end? Huh? How is this age going to end? It's going to end full of sin, filled up. And then God's going to pour out the tribulation period upon this earth. It's going to be filled up with sin, going to be engulfed in sin and corruption. All right. And that's what it's going to be like. All right, now this leaven always stands for sin. Okay? Number 20, I can't remember where it's Tracy or Stacy. Stacy. Oh. Stacy. Go ahead, Stacy.
Eat nothing made with yeast. Wherever you live, you must eat.
All right, keep the sin out of your life. Keep it out. I don't want to have it in the dwellings. God is getting ready to redeem you. Okay? Number 21. Terry, are you over there?
Okay.
No, I'm in Exodus 12:21. Brother Floyd, are you there? All right. All right, let's look at this. Now, all of you elders, this is the fathers of the home. All right? Now, it's meshpatha in Hebrew. It's patria, and in Latin it's paterfamilia. You've heard of that, the father of the family. Each head of the family. God expects the father to keep his home in line. Okay? And he has from the beginning, from the Garden of Eden. All right? That's the way it is. He looks upon the man as the primary leader of the home. All right? Now, in this, we see it very plainly taught. Now, every father is supposed to go out the patriarch, okay, of this family line. He's supposed to go out. There's some of them didn't have 10 people. Some people were didn't have very many children, so they had to join with another family, so they'd at least be 10 people in that family. But he says, go out there and then slay the Passover lamb. And what does the word Passover mean? You remember what the word Passover means? What? To hop over. That's what it literally means, to hop over. And who is going to hop over? Who's the one who's going to be doing the hopping over? The Lord, Jehovah Himself, Jehovah. All right? The Jehovah of Israel passed over the land of Egypt. I know so many times, and we're going to get into this, you've heard the death angel. It was not the death angel. There is no death angel. It is Jehovah that passed over Egypt. All right? So, this is the Passover lamb. This is the one. And who did this Passover lamb represent? Jesus. They were supposed to keep this in their house, and they were supposed to inspect this lamb and make sure that there was no blemish in it at all before they sacrificed it. They watched it. Okay? And number 22. Number 22. Brother Mike.
And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood which is in the basin, and apply some of the blood that is in the basin to the lintel and the two doorposts, and none of you shall go outside the door of this house until morning.
All right. Now you're going to take the top of the door, and you're going to take a hyssop, which is a red bark bush, and you're going to take this in there, and you're going to dip it in this blood, and you're going to mark it, the top of the doorpost and the sides of the doorpost, and once it's been marked, don't leave it. The only safety there is in that house. Outside of that house, the Lord is going to meet everyone that's not covered by the blood. All right, and the Lord of judgment is who it was. Jesus, in all of His righteousness and all of His glory and all of His justice, came to them, and He passed through the land. He passed through that land. Verse number 23, Brother Luis, would you read that?
And Jehovah will pass along to plague the Egyptians, and when He...
All right, that name is Jehovah. Jehovah is the one that's going to plague and smite the Egyptians and all the unbelievers, because everybody knew. There were a lot of people that listened and adhered to these. As the miracles, as this contest of the gods occurred, many of the Egyptians believed Moses and Aaron over Pharaoh. Moses and Aaron became mighty in their sight. And they adhered to these things, so they listened. And God was merciful. When the hail, remember when the fire, when the lightning and the hail came, what did God tell them? All the people out in the field, all the animals, get them out. Whether they're strangers, whether they're Egyptians or whatever. And some of the Egyptians did this. And so they didn't lose their cattle, and they believed. Okay? Go ahead, Brother.
When He beholds the blood upon the upper beam and upon the two door posts, then will Jehovah pass over the entrance and not suffer the destroyer to enter into the houses to inflict upon you.
All right. Then the destroyer to come, destroying one, all right. And who is that? Some people call that the death angel, but this is not the death angel. This is the Lord Himself. And the word is ha-ma-chithith, is what it is. The destruction, the one that causes destruction, okay? And in Greek, it is ho-la-theru-on. All right, ho-la-theru-on. And that word comes from two Greek words, which holos and thanatos. All right, what's holos mean in Greek? Anybody know? Holos means the whole. We got our word whole from that. Whole, W-H-O-L-E. Whole. That means entire. And then thanatos. What's the word thanatos? Thanatos is the word for spiritual death. All right? Thanatos. It means separation. So here is the dividing, the final cutoff point. Anyone outside is going to be cut off and dead. Period. All right. Let's go on and look a little bit further now. The Lord is going to pass over, and destruction will come to their houses, and you will be smitten. And verse number 24, brother. Luis, can you read that one?
And you shall observe this thing for a statute to thee and thy sons unto times age-biding.
What is it?
The last one.
The last part of it.
Age-abiding.
Age-abiding. All right. And it says, literally, for an age. That's what it literally says. In the Septuagint, it is eos ionos. All right? Eos ionos. It means until the age is what it literally says. All right, in the Septuagint, until the end of the age. Now, how long was the Passover going to be in effect? How long would this Passover in national Israel be in effect? How long would it supposed to last? Look up here to your map. Look up at your map now. All right, here's the Egyptian bondage right here on the map. And right here, when the Passover was instituted, when was the last valid Passover observed? When Jesus observed that Passover with his church, that night before his arrest and crucifixion the next day, that was the last one. And then he converted the Passover into what? He took the elements there at the table and he converted the Passover into what? The Lord's Supper. And now this Passover was supposed to do what? You were supposed to. It was for a memory, a memorial of what God did back here in Egypt when he took them out of bondage. So now the new Passover dinner or the Lord's Supper that we have today, why do we take the Lord's Supper? Is it a sacramentum? A sacrament? What is it? Does it add to salvation?
Memorial service.
It's a memorial service. All right? We remember. It's a remembering. It says, do this in remembrance of me. Okay?
Because everybody in the Lord's church
is the
same man and woman.
Yeah, that's right. Because they've been passed over. All of the church members have been passed over. Let's look at this. For an age. So for an age, it's not eternity. I mean, even in New American Standard, it's translated forever. That one, that is a better translation right there in that Sacred Name Bible. For an age. For an age. For not forever. Now we look back. The Passover was a family institution, wasn't it? It was a family institution. Every father, every head of the home was the father of that family. Paterfamilia. All right. Patria. My papa in Hebrew. He's the father of the family. Now, he instructs his family on why they're taking this Passover. Now, in a New Testament church, each New Testament church is like a separate family. All right? And he took it from the family in Israel and put it into the church's hands. So now, as the churches will spread out, each and every church would remember the Lord as it took the Passover or the Lord's Supper and in the remembering, all right? And remembering the Lord. Number 25. Number 25, are you there, Aaron?
When you enter the land that the Lord will give you,
you
shall eat as he promised, observe this commandment.
All right. Observe this rite. Okay? This service. When you get into the land that I'm promising you now, how long had this people been promised this land? It's more than 400 years. How long had they been in Egypt? 430 years. All right? 430 years. Now, who went down into Egypt? Who was the first one into Egypt, basically? Joseph was the first one in Egypt, even though Abraham went down there before. And you know what? The first time Abraham went down into Egypt and went down there and offered his wife, Sarah, to Pharaoh for his wife. And he got run out of Egypt. That was going to be a type of what was going to come. And he told him, because you've done this, he said, your children, your descendants are going to be captives in this land and going to be enslaved. But they're going to leave with a lot of money. All right? And what happened to Abraham? He was a type of what was going to happen to them. What did they do to Abraham when he left Egypt? Abraham, because of his ungodliness, he was going down there and Pharaoh wanted his wife, and he said, oh, sure, here, she's my sister. And he told her, don't you tell anybody any different. So Pharaoh wanted to marry her, so she was going through this cleansing, and they were inspecting her and all this kind of stuff. And in the meanwhile, his household got plagued. And God revealed to him that this guy is this woman's wife. And said, why did you deceive me? And so what did Pharaoh do to Abraham? He kicked him out. Now, this was going to be the mother of the promised child. Remember? He kicked him out. He drove him out and gave him money to leave. Okay? He drove him out and gave him money to leave. And he said, now you're going to observe this service or this rite for a long time when you get into the promised land. Number 26. Go ahead, Aaron. Number 26. All right. When your children ask you what this ceremony means to you. Now, a little bit later on, I'm going to bring you some stuff about some videos about the Feast of Israel by Zola Levitt. And the Hebrew family today still, they have the youngest child ask the questions. And the child is supposed to ask the questions. Why are we doing this? And every little part of that dinner, that Passover dinner, the father instructs the youngest child. And, of course, everybody gets to hear it all over again. Because every time they have another child, then the youngest child gets to answer the questions. Or ask the questions, that is. And it will come about when the children will say to you, what does this rite mean to you? And then, Aaron, go on from there. Number 27. All right. He spared our homes when he struck down the Egyptians. And then it says, the last part of it, and the people bowed low and worshipped. And the people bowed low and worshipped. Now, number 28, Brother Rex.
And then the children of Israel went away and did so, just as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron.
All right. Now, I kind of like what it says there in the Hebrew. Brother Luis, it brings that out a little bit. Now, what does yours say there, number?
28?
Yeah. No, 29.
Mm-hmm. And it came to pass at midnight that Jehovah smote every firstborn of the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of the Pharaoh who sat upon his throne, unto the firstborn of the captive who was in the pit of his prison, and every firstborn of the beast.
All right. Firstborn of cattle. What is God saying to these people here? I am the possessor of all, beast and man. Everything. It's all mine. The cattle on 1,000 hills. I remember remember in the New Testament when Jesus sent his church members out to look for that little donkey? And he said, if they asked you, why do you need the donkey? He said, to tell him what? The Lord has need of him. Actually, Jehovah has need of him. Adonai, as they would use later on. Dr. John, number 30.
So Pharaoh rose in the night, he, all of his servants, and the Egyptians. And there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house, for there was not one dead.
All right. Not a house in all of Egypt where there was not one dead. Everybody has a firstborn, don't they? In every family. Isn't that right?
Can you imagine those? Destruction in their lives, all these heirs.
These were heirs. Heirs. You know, in all of the cultures, the firstborn basically is the heir. And in the Chinese culture today, there's quite a problem over there. The heir, they want a boy to carry the name, the family name. And there's a limit on how many children you can have in China, cutting down on the population business. And so many times when they have a child, if they find out it's a child, they will abort it until they have a boy. Now, where in the world, when they get all these boys over there and there's no girls, what are they going to have to do, import girls?
Come to America. We got them.
Just think about that for a while. Because the heir is so important. So what did God do? Now, the Pharaoh, evidently Pharaoh was not the firstborn. The firstborn must have died when this boy was born. Or else it was a girl that was her firstborn or whatever. But in Pharaoh's own household, he must have had a firstborn son or daughter, okay? In that household. And in that household, Pharaoh's house tasted death. Every household there, from the people that worked in the dungeons, the guards, even those that were in prison, all of the cattle, all of the goats, and by the way, did the Egyptians worship cattle? They worshiped many beasts. They worshiped beetles, everything you can think of. They worshiped these, and God struck down their gods, and even Pharaoh, because he was the Lord of all things, the Lord of all things. Number 31, Stacy.
When the night Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron and said, "Up, lead my people, you and Israelites, and what the Lord has requested."
All right. And he called. Who? What did Pharaoh do here? Oh, anyway, let's go back to number 30. Are you on 30 there? 30. Oh, 30.
And all the officials and all the Egyptians got up during the night, and there was loud wailing in Egypt, for there was no house without someone dead.
All right. Right in the middle of the night, people started screaming. Right in the middle of the night, people started mourning and screaming. You know what? When we're lost in sin, we're in a slumber, we're in a sleep, aren't we? We're sleeping in death and all that. But these people woke up because the ones next to them were dead. They died. How did they die? Did they scream when they died? Was there wailing? What happened when these people expired? I don't know. But somehow or another, there's a whole, every house screamed, and they were screaming and mourning in that house. Screaming and mourning. They woke up in the middle of the night, mourning, waking up, crying and mourning. Number 31 now, Brother Stacy.
During the night, Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron and said, "Up, lead my people, you and the Israelites, go worship the Lord as you have requested."
All right. Now, he told them in the middle of the night, "Get out of here." He said, "Get out. Get out from among my people. Leave." Isn't that what he did to Pharaoh? Isn't that what the other Pharaoh did to Abraham? He said, "Get out of here. You've plagued my house. You have plagued my house." There was a plague. There was a punishment that Abraham brought upon Pharaoh at that time. He said, "Get out of here. Leave. Take some money with you. Take some cows with you. Take some sheep with you. Get out of here. Leave. Get out of my presence." He said, "Go and worship the Lord." Brother Luis, is his Bible there? Oh, can you read that for me? Verse number 31, the last part of that.
Jim, what translation is that?
That is the Sacred Name Bible. It is a... in the Old Testament, it uses the King James a lot, but the translation of the names of God is correct. And that's what I really like. It translates the name of God from Hebrew the way it should be translated. There are a lot of translations. The Amplified Bible is really good. But this Bible here, the Sacred Name Bible, uses the real name of God in it. And go ahead, Sister Andina.
31.
Uh-huh.
"And go and serve Jehovah according to your word."
Go and worship or serve Jehovah, all right, according to what He has said. And then verse number 32. Look at verse number 32. Dr. John.
Also take your flocks and your herds, and you have said, let's see, as you have said, and be gone, and bless me also.
All right. Please bless me. Now, right now, here Pharaoh is, he's superficially repenting again. Superficially. He said, please bless me. Take all this curse off of me. Just leave and say, God bless you as you go. Get out of here. All right? Get out of here. Then verse number 33. Verse number 33, Brother Mike.
And the Egyptians urged the people to send them out of the land in haste.
Oh, in a hurry. In haste. All right?
They said, we shall all be dead.
All right. Now get out of here before we all die. They were scared. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of all knowledge. All right? And here they are, right here. He says, get out of here, lest we all be dead. They were afraid they were all going to die now. The next thing, you know, he's plagued the land. He's plagued all of our gods. He's plagued the Nile River. And every, you know, Pharaoh's daughter, when she went out to bathe herself in the god, the Nile River was the god, and to sprinkle and bathe her body in this wonderful god, the Nile River, this child showed up out there. Moses. That's what she was doing out there. She was bathing herself. Pharaoh, every morning, would go out and bathe himself in this deity called the Nile River. That was one of their gods. Well, he had struck all these things. He had struck Beelzebub. He had stricken all of their gods. And now, it says, get out of here, unless we're all going to die. There won't be anything left. The land was ravaged. They didn't have any food. When Joseph went down into Egypt, Pharaoh had a dream. And Pharaoh was told about Joseph. And Joseph interpreted that dream. And what did it? How did Pharaoh receive that? Favorably. And Joseph said there's going to be famine in the land for 7 years. And during that 7 years, that Pharaoh became the richest man in the world because he listened to God. He listened to God. And this Pharaoh now, because he didn't listen to God, he becomes the poorest man in history. The poorest of all the Pharaohs. Okay? And verse number 34, it tells you how fast they left the country. Brother X.
So the people took their bows before it was leavened, having their kneading bowls bound up in their clothes on their shoulders.
All right. Now, they didn't even have time to pack their kitchenware. They just threw what they had, and away we went. And away we go. Terry, number 35. All right, now, how long ago was this prophesied? All the way back in Abraham's day? Okay. Go back into Genesis 15, 13, and 14. And then to Exodus 3 and verse 20, I believe it is. Genesis 15, 13, and 14. Let's go back and see how far back this prophecy is. God has no problem prophesying. Brother, I was talking to Brother Floyd this morning, and he said it's so wonderful to see prophecy fulfilled in our time as we see it coming to pass. Well, God has never had any trouble about speaking what was going to happen before it happened. All right? Never had any trouble with it. Genesis 15, 13, and 14. Are you back over there, Terry?
Yeah.
Okay.
Then he said to Abram, "Know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land which I shall show them, not theirs, and will serve them, and they will afflict them for 400 years.
Okay, and then go on.
And also the nation whom they serve I will judge. Afterward, they shall come out with great possessions.
Okay. He says, he told Abraham that your children are going to be afflicted for 400 years, but afterwards I'm going to judge that nation. Now, what has Jehovah done here? They have millions of people here in the land. Now, this is when Israel actually began a nation. This was the birth of this nation, okay, while they were there in Egypt. All right. So there we have Brother Mike, number 36. No, in Exodus 12 and verse 36.
And the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians so that they let them have their request. Thus they plundered the Egyptians.
All right, so they plundered the Egyptians. Now, just remember this for a while. These Egyptians didn't have much food to eat, did they? But if you've got money, you usually can buy food, can't you? And what is real money? What is real money? Real money is not paper. What is real money? Gold and silver, all right? It's gold and silver. So if you've got gold and silver, you can buy food somehow or another. In the book of Revelation, it says gold's not going to buy food because you're going to have the mark of the beast, all right? We're going to be under a one-world government, which we're quickly approaching right now, just in case you don't know it. We're heading there in a hurry, in a roller coaster that's greased well. The wheels are flying, all right? They plundered the Egyptians. All right, number 37, Sister Andino.
Then the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Sukkot.
Yeah.
About 600,000 men and 25 children.
Okay, now back on page number 43 in your syllabus. Approximately how many Hebrews left Egypt? All right. What does it say here? Number A in your syllabus. You should have 600,000 men. Okay. B, if you've got 600,000 men, how many women do you usually have? At least 600,000. Remember, some of these guys had two wives. All right. So there's at least 600,000 women. So number B, the women are 600,000 at least. Maybe more. All right, 600,000 plus. C, how many children? You got to have at least one child per family. Huh? Some of them might have two or three. How many was in Moses' family that we know of? Well, at least two others besides Moses, at least. All right, at least three in that family. So now, if it's 600,000 people, that's a very conservative guess, isn't it? It could be 120. It could be 1.5 million. It could be 1 million. All right, but conservatively, how many people left there? If you cut it way back and just get down to basics now. Would be 1,800,000 people. That's a lot of people in it. 1,800,000, that's the total. That's number D. Okay? So here we are. We've got about 1,800,000 conservatively people that left Egypt. Okay? That's a lot of people. Where did we end up there? Number 38. All right, number 38. This is something that's very important also. Dr. John, would you read that one for me?
A mixed multitude went up with them also, and flocks and herds, a great deal of livestock.
All right, a mixed multitude. Now, what is this mixed multitude, Brother Blanton?
Mixed multitude. Every fact there is on earth.
All right. These are people that were not Jews also. So we at least have 1,800,000 Jews plus how many? A mixed multitude. All right, a mixed multitude. Now in the Greek, it's okloi. All right, and we know what an oklos is. Was in okay, an oklos in Greek is at least 5,000 people. Okay, an okloi is at least 15,000 people. And Jesus, when he spoke to the multitudes, when he spoke to one, an oklos, a crowd, was at least 5,000. How many people did he feed with the bread and fish? 5,000 people. All right, that's a lot of people. All right, he didn't have a little bitty church following him. It was great big crowds. All right, there's at least 120 preachers in that church following Jesus. All right? This mixed multitude now. So there's probably 20 or 30,000 people besides Jews that are going. All right? So we have close to 2 million people leaving Egypt. And they're not all Jews. All right? They're not all Jews. And a mixed multitude also went up with them, along with flocks, herds, and a very large number of livestock. So they went out of Egypt rich, didn't they? They went out of Egypt rich. Number 39 now. Aaron, are you over there in number 39?
Yes.
All right. All right, so they went out with unleavened bread. What does that typify? They went out with salvation. Jesus, when he took, let's look at the Passover now. Let's go back to the Passover. We have the Passover dinner. Jesus is officiating his Passover dinner there at this Passover dinner, and they have all the places there set, and then they have one extra place set. Who's that place for? Elijah. Elijah. And Elijah, the Old Testament says, is what? Is the forerunner of the Messiah. And they're still looking for the forerunner of the Messiah today. And before each Passover dinner, they'll open the door and they say, Elijah, Elijah, we're getting ready to have dinner. Come, Elijah. Okay?
Being blind, they never knew
truth. Yeah. And so they have a plate for Elijah, they have a cup for Elijah, and they have bread for Elijah. Okay? So after they had their Passover dinner, and gone through all the little rituals that remember back into the salvation of Egypt, or Israel when it took God, Jehovah took them out of Egypt to the Promised Land, at the end of that dinner, after all these little things that they did, and all the questions were asked, and answered, they took Elijah's bread, and Jesus broke it. And he said what? Now, what kind of bread was that? Unleavened bread. Because that bread stood for what? Jesus. Did Jesus have sin in him?
No.
No. All right. And he broke it, and he said, this is my body, and he broke it. He says, it's broken for you. Take, eat. This is my body. And then after that, he took Elijah's cup, with Genamata Saison Plu, the fruit of the vine in it, okay? And he said, this is what? My blood, which will be shed for many. All right. And that's what it was. This Passover dinner was a preview of coming attractions like the Passover lamb was. All right? Going a little bit further. Number 40. Number 40. Brother Blanton.
Sir, now the sojourn of the children of Israel who lived in Egypt was 430 years.
All right. And verse number 41.
And it passed at the end of 430 years, on that very same day it came to pass, all the armies of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt.
How is that last part of that verse translated there in your Bible, Louise? And the what? And the host are...
The host of Jehovah have come forth out of the land of Egypt.
All right. The host of Jehovah. Remember, this is Jehovah that is talking about. What does the name Jehovah mean? He who shall become. That's what it means. What's the first place in the Hebrew Old Testament that the root of the name Jehovah is found? All right. Where is it? No, way back in the book of Genesis is in the first chapter. The root of the name Jehovah. Where is the first place that the root of the name of Jehovah is found in the Hebrew Old Testament? No, way back in the first chapter. It says, Barashith, Bara, Elohim, Eth Hashemayim, We Eth Haaretz. And it says, We Eth Haaretz, Haya. All right. All right. And it said, in beginnings, plural, Elohim created the heavens and the earth, and then it says, and the earth, she became formless. She became. Haya is the root of the name Jehovah, and it means he who shall become. All right, now in Genesis 1:14, Brother Brett, that's where you're going. Kaihologo sarks again, isn't it? And the word flesh he became. And the word flesh he became. Now, the name of God in the Old Testament, we're going to find this a little bit later on. Why did the Jews not speak the name of their God? They had been using it up to now, hadn't they? The word Jehovah is all in there, all over the place. Later on, when they went in there, they did not speak the name of Jehovah. Said the name of God was too holy to be spoken. So they referred to him as the Word, or the name. And what is the word in Hebrew? Huh? No, Hebrew. Devar. All right. And of course, in Greek, it is what?
Logos.
All right. There we are. Let me get this tape turned over.
And logos means word in the dictionary.
What?
If you look up logos, it says word and
yeah. Word. Yeah. Uh-huh. The Greek word is logos. The Hebrew word is devar. But they spoke, and the devar also means the father of, in places, or the son in different places. The son. The word. Okay? It also means the son of. So just put all this stuff in your etymology as you study it and think about it for a while. Later on, the Lord in His commandments, it says, thou shalt not use the name of the Lord, thy Jehovah, thy Elohim, in what? In vain. So from that time on, they would not use the name of God. They were afraid to be blaspheming God, so they wouldn't use the name. So then the name of God was referred to as the name or the word. And so that's how it is in the New Testament. And even from this time on, that's why they left it off. All right? Verse number 42. We're still, we had all kinds of instructions here. Sister Andino, number 42. And we're almost ready to finish this class for today. Okay, Exodus 12 and verse 42. Brother David. That David.
It is a night to be observed for the Lord for having brought them out from the land of Egypt. This night is for the Lord to be observed by all the sons of Israel throughout their generations.
All right. And actually for an age is what it literally means. Throughout their generations as a nation. When did God set aside Israel as a nation as His administrator? When did He set aside Israel as the administrator of His kingdom? When did He take over His reign of the kingdom of Israel? When did He whip them into line and take it over and say, you shall not make my house, my father's house, a den of thieves? Right when this is what you call the triumphant entry into Egypt. It was into Jerusalem. It was more than just a triumphant entry. We think about that. But that's when the Lord God of heaven took over His kingdom right there Himself. Brother David, the other brother David, number 43.
And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover. No foreigner shall eat it.
All right, no foreigner shall eat of it. No foreigner shall eat of it. All right? Why? In the New Testament, we're going to study the Lord's Supper on Sunday afternoon, one of these days. But the Lord's Supper originally in Baptist churches was what they call an observance by close communion. What does close communion mean? That's only members of that New Testament church could partake of it. All right, that's what it meant. All right, it was close communion. Now, what's closed communion? Who practices closed communion today? The Catholic Church. unless you go through the little deals. You can't take their it's bond to you. It's the Eucharist with them. Okay? All right. So, no foreigner shall eat of it. Number 44, Brother David. Go ahead, Brother David.
But every man's servant who is bought for money, he is circumcised, then he may eat.
All right. Now, if he's circumcised, then what is he? He's part of the covenant, isn't he? That's part of the covenant. That's the covenant right now. Number 45.
A sojourner and a hired servant shall not eat it.
All right. The one that's just been there for a while and the hired servants, they're not going to partake of it. But anyone that has become identified with the nation of Israel can partake of it. Number 46.
In one house it shall be eaten. You shall not carry any of the flesh outside the house, nor shall you break one of its bones.
Okay. And in that household only shall it be observed or eaten. You shall run. You cannot take any of the flesh outside of it. And by the way, the Lord's Supper today is what kind of an ordinance? It is a church ordinance. It is not a family ordinance anymore. It is a church ordinance. You don't have the Lord's Supper outside of the church. You have the Lord's Supper in the church. All right? And then, number 47. All right, they shall celebrate this. They shall celebrate this. And verse number 48, Sister Andino.
And when a stranger dwells with him, wants to keep the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised, and then let him come near and keep it. And he shall be as a maiden of the man.
All right, he's going to be adopted. All right, I think one of my next lessons is adoption. All right, adoption. But no uncircumcised person may eat of it. And number 49, Brother Rex.
One law shall be for the native born and for the stranger who dwells among them.
All right, one law shall be for everybody. All right, number 50.
Thus all the children of Israel be at the Lord's command and in error.
Number 51. Number 51.
And it came to pass that very same day that the Lord brought the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt according to their departure.
All right. There we finish the 12th chapter. Next week we're going to get into the 13th chapter and verse number 1. I hope you enjoyed it. Do you have any questions? Do you have any questions? Here. Did you learn something? Who is the death angel? He don't exist. All right, you learned that much, didn't you? All right, we looked at him closely. All right, do you have any questions? It's good to have you here today. Brother David, I'm going to turn this over to you.